The following ad is presented by the Anti-Toxicity League, working tirelessly for a safer and less toxic world.
On January 20th, 2025, Elon Musk turned my life upside down when he did the Nazi salute in support of Donald Trump.
We had bought the Tesla because we wanted to virtue signal about the environment, and so that all our friends knew that we were liberals, not so that they would think we are Nazis.
If we had wanted to be Nazis, we would have bought a Volkswagen.
Now our friends have turned their backs on us. I was driving my Model 3 to Whole Foods yesterday, and my friend Clara flipped me off from her Nissan Leaf. The video cameras caught my husband's friend John rubbing his balls on the hood of the car.
Even though we have a Vote Democrat sticker on the bumper, people still think we are Nazis. We have tried so hard to not be Nazis, accepting our white privilege, virtue signaling for every possible cause on the left. Yet no matter how hard we have tried, our friends have turned on us because of our car.
It would seem that the only place we are accepted now is at Trump rallies and amongst the normal, uneducated Americans who don't have time to focus on irrelevant social causes.
We can't just change our friend group because of this. We don't want to hang out with people without college degrees, those who aren't focused on equality, those who refuse to state their pronouns, and conspiracy theorists who don't care about climate change.
That is why today we are proud to say that we sold our Tesla because we aren't Nazis.
This decision proves that we don't support unelected officials auditing other unelected officials in the government.
It proves that we are willing to make brave decisions in the face of adversity in order to promote equity and inclusion in our communities, that we are willing to stand up against hate.
With this move, I hope that our friends will forgive us and the lady at Mimi's Cafe will stop spitting in my avocado toast.
Doing the right thing means that sometimes you have to stand out from the crowd and make hard decisions. Stand up against hate. Stand up for the government officials who have been laundering our tax dollars for a better world. Stand up for climate change, for the right to take your children to drag queen story hour. But more importantly, choose to be brave and to sell your Tesla.
My name is Fred Smith.
And my name is Janet Smith Schuster.
And we are choosing to stand up against hate.
Hey guys, before I say what I'm going to say, I want to point out that that advertisement was trash. You aren't brave for making decisions based on peer pressure or what everyone around you thinks. People are brave when they choose to stand in the face of adversity for a cause they believe in. You are brave for facing danger, not for avoiding it altogether. Before we get into the episode, I owe you an explanation of where I've been. The last 6 months have been really tough. I ran off with a Monero guy because I thought I was in love. He got me pregnant, and when he found out, he ditched me. I stumbled around trying to make sense of my broken heart. I couldn't handle it, and my drug use got out of control. A few months into the pregnancy, I went on an insane coke bender and miscarried. I was and am absolutely devastated. My heart is completely broken. While that Monero guy is a piece of shit, I wanted to bring a child into this world. To provide him a bright future, where so many children in this world are brought up thinking they are worthless, and that thinking is a sin. My drug use robbed that future for that child. Things have been really dark for me, but that's why I've chosen to come back to the Bugle. I want to be alongside the people who are fighting a true and just fight. PodConf needs to be destroyed, and the world needs to know it's okay to use your brain. Rod and Dick are the real heroes facing adversity every day. I have learned that when you face hard times, it is vital to look for a sense of meaning and purpose. Today, I'm choosing to make my purpose to stand beside Rod and Dick in their mission to bring the world the best damn credentialed journalism has ever seen. My name is Kaylee Welch, and you are listening to The Bugle Weekly.
Welcome to this edition of The Bugle Weekly. This is your co-host, Richard Greaser, tuning in from the undisclosed Bugle Weekly podcast studio in The Bugle Weekly, or The Bugle News newsroom in New York City. You're probably tuning into this episode today because you want to know what's going on. You have Bitcoin podcasters tweeting on Twitter that they have no idea what's going on. There was a lot of discussion of the decoupling on Friday. American HODL, you know, Jason Williams, these people claiming to be OG Bitcoiners, they say that they're in it for a while. They have no idea what's going on. But lucky for you, you have tuned into a podcast ran by credentialed journalists who are on the beat and do know what's going on. Rod, what's going on? What's the deal here? What's happening? Why is Bitcoin going down?
Well, the tariffs really spooked the markets this week. Donald Trump announced tariffs. He had a big tariff scoreboard. One of the charts on their website, and we published it, it showed the tariff taxes now going to cost for Americans who want to buy a Colt card from Canada or a BitBox from Switzerland, upwards of 31%, you know, tariff increases, which is tough. And the markets are crashing. MSTR in the tanks below 300. MSTR people on Reddit, people on Wall Street Bets, they're posting the suicide hotline. Wall Street traders are they're taking pictures of them, you know, staring out their windows at their bank, their investment bank in Wall Street, contemplating jumping out because their meme coin went to zero. And we thought Bitcoin was kind of immune to this. I mean, the NASDAQ, all the meme coins, Ethereum, they were just crashing to zero, seemed like. And Bitcoin was kind of holding steady at 84K. And people started tweeting the word decoupling. And it was spreading quickly around Bitcoin Twitter. It was in group chats. But, you know, everybody was trying to look for regulatory clarity on what this decoupling meant. And people didn't have enough time to, like, record Bitcoin podcasts and explain it. So you're trying to tell your friends and family, like, it's okay. Bitcoin's decoupling. You don't have to sell your shares of BlackRock's ETF. You don't have to sell everything on Swan Bitcoin. You don't have to sell everything on Coinbase. It's fine. We're hodling. It's decoupled. But they were asked questions like, what does this decoupling mean? And they went on Twitter, and the next thing you see is like low IQ word of the day, decoupling, my hodl madu. And people are freaking out. The decoupling meme kind of fell apart, and now Bitcoin has dropped below 80K. And everyone's wondering, when the market opens tomorrow, is Bitcoin going down to 58K? Is Bitcoin going to just have a huge crash? Is it the bear market here? And Yellow had an emergency Don't Stop Believing spaces about this. But the real problem is we don't know what the decoupling is. It's not a power enough meme because we haven't had enough Bitcoin podcasts explaining it. So people can't explain it to their friends and family who come to them. They know they listen to 40 hours per week, and they know they can explain this macro change in environments, and they can't. And they're still waiting for regulatory clarity on what the decoupling is. So we just haven't had time. And until we can explain this, I think there's a chop ahead.
It's all very interesting. Yeah. If you're listening to the podcast and you've been on the fence about starting a Bitcoin podcast, I'd highly encourage you to start one right now. There's never been a more important time in history to have a Bitcoin podcast.
And the reason this decoupling meme is so important, because if it's true, then people can be safe to know that the bull market is still protected. Josh Mandel's prediction, we could still run the table. This decoupling sounds like a watershed moment that will help us get a God candle, an Omega candle. But once it started to break down, I mean, people were nervous. A lot of us, especially Bitcoin podcasters, we promised our wives that we would get them breast implants this bull market. And our wives, they don't watch the price every day. They trust us because we told them to, because we listen to 40 hours. And they haven't seen the price, but they're still expecting fake tits. And people need dry powder to keep their wives happy, because they convince their wives not to go spend all their Bitcoin at Target, because they promised them if they didn't, they would get fake boobs. Well, they want the fake boobs.
Have you gotten your wife fake tits yet?
No, I've been holding off. I was hoping that my MSTR shares would be like 700 now. That's when I pulled. That was when I sat down with my financial advisor and my node, and we planned to sell. And right now it's going to really cost me a lot of sats, and I'm worried that I'm going to have to smoke less cigarettes to keep my wife happy. And I just don't, that's not the bull market I expected.
Totally. I'm not going to get my wife fake tits. It's just a personal personal preference. I'm more of an ass guy, ass and face guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for some people, you know, the B on their money is good enough, and the B on their wife's bra is good enough for them. But for some guys, they want a bigger size. And, you know, if you're going to sacrifice, sell your chairs, you're going to sacrifice, and you're going to save your time, you want maybe that time to have a reality where your wife has bigger tits.
Yeah, to each their own. I mean, my strategy, like, I think one of the things that's really important is finding creative ways for your wife not to get fat. And unfortunately, I just don't think the gym is an adequate enough solution, right?
Right. Like, there, well, I could say that, like, feeding my wife beef tallow, steak, and grass-fed butter for every meal, it's been doing great for my testosterone, but it's my wife's not been losing weight from that. I think maybe she's gained some weight.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I just think
she, the tried and true method. My wife, she came to me. She came to me the other day, and she sent me tweets by Mandrick, who was posting pictures of his muscles on Twitter and saying that he switched to an all carbohydrate diet. So my wife is like, now she's like, I miss eating cherry pies and donuts and banana bread and sweets and candy. Like, that was my diet, and you make me eat steaks, but Mandrick is way more hot than you are. And all he does is eat carbohydrates. So, like, now I'm dealing with that bullshit.
Well, I mean, the solution, you know, for years, and there's so much ancient wisdom that unfortunately the fiat propagandists and controllers have tried to take out of the historical lexicon. But the Native Americans had this down for years. Native Americans were able, I mean, if you notice, you go to pretty much any reservation around the country, almost all of them, and they all sell cigarettes with no taxes. Native Americans understood the value of tobacco for thousands and thousands of years. Like, they were the first smokers in the world, and they didn't have fat women. And,
right,
you know, you look at the fiat economy, the fiat environment, you see what's going on right now. They're trying to push Ozempic on everybody, right? While simultaneously banning smoking everywhere you go. So you've got pro-Ozempic. I mean, it's pretty incredible. Like, they just created a market for themselves. So they came out with the body positive movement, right? Make Americans fat. Make them okay with being fat. Encourage them to be fat. Then they feel shitty. They get heart problems. They develop diabetes. And so they're trying to find a solution to all of that. And then they rush Ozempic onto the market. And all of this could have been avoided. All of this could have been avoided. I mean, like, what do you think it is? Like, was the body positive movement a strategy to bolster the American economy by getting people to spend a bunch of money at McDonald's?
We're going to take a short break to hear from Maggie Morris, who is issuing a retraction.
Hi, this is Maggie Morris. I would like to fully retract the statement I posted to Twitter, putting in question the results of the Maxi Madness polling and the professionalism of the Beagle News editorial team. After watching a statistical analysis of an hour-by-hour replay of the polling and being exposed to information I wasn't previously aware of, I now see I was completely mistaken and that the results were fully organic. I would like to thank Richard Greaser and the Beagleverse board for renewing my contract with Beagle News. Richard Greaser and Rod Palmer are stand-up journalists and altogether well-rounded people, and me implying otherwise is fully due to my own personal issues. I'm very excited for Q2 with the Beagle News and the high-quality reporting and journalism we will be producing. I would like to publicly apologize for the confusion and concern my statements have caused, and to assure you this will not happen again.
I think that there's a lot of narratives and a lot of explanations, but when I look at the data, I use my credentials and I crunch the data before me. And a lot of Bitcoiners out there are low interest rate. Nothing stops this train. You know, that's kind of their philosophy. But Some people, almost across the libraries, like they wish for low interest rates, and so they expect low interest rates. But it seems clear by now that low interest rates lead to overweight wives. The longer we have, you know, near zero interest rates or very low interest rates, the bigger our wives get, the fatter they get, the fatter we get, the lower our testosterone goes. And I think that we just have to accept that if we are expecting low interest rates, we're going to have to be working harder, it's not going to be easier to try to stay based and fit and not have fat wives. We're going to have to endure and smoke cigarettes. And maybe that's why the Native Americans, they drew the line at taxing their cigarettes. And they endured so much hardship and so much oppression from the government because they refused to compromise on taxing cigarettes and taxing tobacco. You can't tax access to God's creation. God wants us to smoke cigarettes. He gave us tobacco. And it's just a line the Native Americans were not willing to cross.
Yeah. Geronimo, Crazy Horse, you know, all of these historical figures that are badass Native Americans, they're looking down on today's natives and they're proud. They're proud that they're standing the ground and not allowing for taxes on cigarettes. That's for sure.
It's worth it to preserve that identity and that culture.
Yeah. Well, if you're struggling to understand what's going on in the American or global economy right now, you probably haven't read Atlas Shrugged recently.
Boom, boom, yeah. And the idea, if your time preference is low enough, it's like none of this is really shocking you. It may not be what you've prepared for, or hoped for, most optimistic, but it doesn't surprise you either. And this is why Bitcoin podcasts are so important. Like, this is why we are encouraging you to start one now, because when you don't have time to look at the price, the best thing to do is listen to a Bitcoin podcast.
Well, yeah, you have the opportunity to tell your friends and family about what's actually happening. Like, the choices are, they can either get their opinions and have the New York Times do the thinking for them, or you can do the thinking for them. But unless you're doing a podcast, there's no way for you to adequately communicate what's happening in the world to them. They're not going to listen to Lynn Alden, you know what I mean? But they might listen to you talk about what Lynn Alden was talking about.
Man, this is official breaking news. Dennis Porter has called it for the decoupling. He says the decoupling was fun while it lasted. So sounds like the decoupling is finally dead. That narrative is dead and we may be going lower.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, I would bring this back to the listener. You know, there's some people that are kind of like, they're Bitcoin hipsters in the sense, like, they pretend that when the price goes down, that it doesn't bother them, that it actually makes them happy. Right. It's just all a bunch of bravado, in my opinion. You know, they're upset about the price going down, just like you and me are, and everybody else. But the responsibility for the price going up, it doesn't fall on David Bailey. It doesn't fall on Donald Trump. It falls on every one of us to start our own Bitcoin podcast. Because once again, your friends and family are not going to learn about this unless you're podcasting about it. They're not going to go and listen to what Bitcoin did. They're not going to listen to TFTC. They're going to go to TFTC and they're going to say, wow, Marty's a weirdo that believes there's nanoparticles on the food or something like that. And then they're not going to listen to it. They're going to listen to RHR and then they're going to see that Matt's a gay bear and kind of grumpy and they're not going to be interested in it anymore, right? They need you to be the ambassador for them into Bitcoin. And if you really want to do it you can call your friends and family and have conversations with them on the phone, but it's essentially just doing a Bitcoin podcast where only the NSA.
Here's the phenomena, in case you may be too close to this and you can't infer it now, but Bitcoin podcasts, especially the new ones, what they do is they mostly reference other Bitcoin podcasts, other Bitcoin podcasters, especially Bitcoin podcasters that have a bigger name recognition that more people will have likely had heard of and agreed with if they're listening to their Bitcoin podcast. And they've referenced their ideas and they've explained to them what Matt Odell thinks about this, or they explained to them what Lynn Alden's macro analysis is for the quarter two of 2025. And we would explain that to our, if we didn't have a podcast, we'd explain that to our friends and family. We would tell our, you know, our uncle to listen to this Lynn Alden interview, or we tell our dad to listen to, you know, this episode of Preston Pish on Bitcoin fundamentals. But they didn't listen to us. They didn't listen. They didn't take our recommendations. But if we start our own podcast, they'll have to listen to it. Our wives will have to listen to it. Our moms will have to listen to it. Our neighbors will have to listen to it. And then when they listen to our Bitcoin podcast, we can play clips from Rabbit Hole Recap, from the Bitcoin Standard, from Robert Breedlove's Sailor series, and they will have to listen to it.
Well, not only that, you've got a back catalog of being right. So instead of having to go and reference a conversation that they're not going to even remember having as a I told you so, you can just point back into one of your podcasts and say, hey, on March 6th, 2025, you know, I told you so. Listen to this podcast right. episode.
Exactly. So this is the power of podcasts, because when you are arguing with your uncle on Thanksgiving, and you are telling him about the laws of thermodynamics and why nothing stops this train and why like privacy is so critical to the adoption and the scaling of layer one, he's not going to listen to a word you say. He's going to tune that out. But when you end up being bright 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years later, you show up to Thanksgiving and you have a time stamped proof of being right. A time stamp proof of being the smartest person in your family. And they've listened to that podcast and they, wow, goddamn, the ETFs did change the dynamics of the layer one supply, but that does not mean that we should accept a shitcoin fork. We just have to build, you know, like I was right about that. That didn't mean there wasn't FUD that was going to tank Bitcoin. And they can't. You can play it right in their faces, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, it's essentially just creating a series of mic drops for yourself. And, you know, after they see you're right for a while and they see everybody else that they listen to is wrong, at a certain point, they're going to be like, holy shit, like we need to like use this podcast that whichever family member did, we need to start adding it into our homeschool curriculum. And then you start orange pilling future generations.
When your brother-in-law, you know, dunks on you because Bitcoin, you know, the decoupling narrative did not hold and Bitcoin dropped back into the 70s, well, you can go back in the group family group chat and you can find a time where he was totally wrong and had totally way too high of a time preference to be commenting on Bitcoin, much less, you know, economics. You can find that tweet and you can reply to it with your fountain clip of you basically dunking the shit on your brother-in-law. And you can share that in the group chat and everybody will like it. And you will be the hero of the group chat for a while. And then nobody will believe your brother-in-law.
I mean, these people deserve to be dunked on. And you owe it to yourself to dunk on them.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's how you orange pill your friends and family. It is by keeping score and never letting them forget that they were wrong about Bitcoin and you were right.
Yeah. I mean, they deserve to be on it. Like, or deserve to have accountability in their lives. Like, this is one of the problems is all these idiots in our society have no accountability for when they're wrong. They just say things. Like when I was out there trying to tell people that were getting COVID and getting the vaccine that cigarettes cured COVID, they all thought I was insane. And it turns out that it's true. Cigarettes cure COVID. They're like pretend like we never had the conversation and that I never said that instead of taking accountability for it. And I've been dunking on them hard. I've been ducking on them hard. They're all running around with autoimmune diseases, upset, blaming something else besides the vaccines. And they could have avoided that entirely by just fucking smoking cigarettes. And, like, they deserve to be dunked on because they made bad decisions. Like, this is part of, you know, allowing the free market. Like, what we're doing essentially is we're embracing the free market of memes, right? There's free market economics where people suffer consequences for their bad behaviors and actions. There's free market memeing, which means that, like, this is one of the issues with PodConf, for example. PodConf has a very, like, stringent view of what's appropriate and what's not appropriate to say on podcasts. They are very anti-free market when it comes to memes. They tell you what you can and can't say. They have both said and unsaid rules on the topics. They just eviscerate any sort of free market Austrian economic theories on the free market of memeing. And it's a real shame because we need that this free market of ideas in order for people to come to any sort of consensus. And, like, part of consensus forming is through absolute dunking on people. Like, you want to fucking teabag these guys when you're jumping through the air and slamming.
Right. When you're a noob and you're new to Bitcoin and you've just started listening to Bitcoin podcasts, the only way that you can even begin to discern which idea or which, you know, way of using Bitcoin is the best is by whose memes are dunking on whose. That's all you know. It's like, well, this meme is constantly ratioing this person and their stupid memes, their PodConf memes. So they must be wrong. I'm going to go be non-compliant for a little while until I can figure it out. So you have to have that competition. Otherwise, it distorts value in ideas around Bitcoin, because it's being pumped up by Tether.
I mean, you want Cousin Billy to feel really shitty, like, because this is what Cousin Billy's going to do, right? He's going to look at everybody, like, the price starts running. He starts to get interested in Bitcoin once that happens. And then he's going to quickly fall into XRP, right? Cousin Billy's going to be getting into XRP. And he's going to ask you about XRP. He's been into Bitcoin for like 5 minutes. He's barely listened to any Bitcoin podcasts. He probably hasn't listened to yours yet. And he's going to be like, I want to get into XRP because of XYZ. And this is what this influencer said. And, you know, the banks and, you know, whatever, cross-border payments. He's going to be all excited about XRP using all the buzzwords that we've all heard for years. And then he's going to lose all his money on it. And you want to fucking dunk the shit out of him, right? You want to have done a 3-hour podcast on why XRP is a scam, why they don't have the blockchain history and have all the missing blocks. You want to be able to refer back to that episode after he's lost all his life savings and just make him feel like a complete piece of shit, the complete piece of shit that he is, because he deserves the accountability, not just for, like, his wife divorcing him because he lost all of his money, but because you told him so. You need to shove it in his face. And in that way, you, like, when you dunk that hard on people, what they're going to do after that is they're going to make sure to never miss one of your podcast episodes ever again.
Right. Wait, think about it, Mike. On rock bottom, they're feeling the most miserable. You've dunked on them completely. They just hit their heads, hit the floor. And then as soon as they emerge to apologize and admit they did something, boom, they get quote tweeted by Ghost of Dick Whip. And now they're the retard of the day. Somebody hits that level. They're going to listen to your Bitcoin podcast 40 hours per week. They're not going to miss an episode. And they're going to listen to all the podcasts you recommend on your podcast as well. They're going to listen to 40 hours of fucking math homework per week with Fundamentals and Club Chain Radio if they ever figure out Noster.
I mean, you want to talk about changing society. You have to fucking dunk. You have to be ruthless in your meme. You have to be willing to just, like, post up on a 5-year-old and just dunk on them.
Yeah, you shouldn't be in the marketplace of free meme exchange if you're not trying to, let me rephrase that. Nobody is participating in the free exchange of memes without trying to influence the narrative. So you should consider that. And there's no amount of like you said, being too ruthless, being too adversarial, because every person is trying to compete with you with their memes, no matter how nice they try to come across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you have to know who you are in this world and in this economy, right? As a 40 per hour Bitcoin podcast listener, you're like LeBron James or Michael Jordan playing against a bunch of 8-year-old kids on 8-foot basketball hoops. Like you got the short hoops. You can already dunk the shit out of a basketball on a real hoop. But now you're playing against midgets that, you know, might be distracted by, you know, a butterfly or, you know, something random.
Right.
They're like, and your role is to fucking put them in the place, because these 8-year-olds don't realize that they're 8-year-olds. They don't realize how undeveloped. They think that they're sentient beings. They think that they're actual adults, and they're not, because they don't fucking listen to Bitcoin podcasts. They have no idea what's going on in the world whatsoever. And it's your role to show them that. Say, hey, you're a fucking retard because you don't listen to 40 hours per week.
And it's for their own good. It's mm-hmm. for their own good, because the CIA is creating these cute, childlike, innocent, happy memes like Dogecoin. And they're using things like Dogecoin to attract children and attract childlike, you know, people of trust. And they think, well, how could this idea ever cost me money? How could it ever be bad for my finances? It's so cute. It's just so innocent. And then it ends up rug pulling people. And it's like the wolf in sheep's clothing. And if you're not able to be on guard for being lured in by memes that will trick you and then dunk on you super hard, or get you dunked on super hard later, you're just not ready for, combat in this, you know, hyper Bitcoinization.
Yeah. I mean, we need to get rid of the sense of inclusivity. And there's all this discussion about, like, the boomers call the millennials snowflakes. I think the millennials are starting to get fed up with the zoomers. The zoomers are pretty fucking annoying. You know what I mean? They're hard to put up with. But
the broccoli haircuts just drive a lot of people crazy. It's no doubt about that. I mean, people, there is, like, with, we covered this, but with Doge and big balls, sometimes you need some really just obnoxious broccoli haircutted zoomer to do your dirty work for you, because they just do not, they've listened to so many right-wing podcasts, they just do not care about being called a Nazi. It just doesn't affect them. But as a result, they're cocky. And we got to use them but Jesus Christ, we don't want those people to take over. We don't want to be led by broccoli haircutted zoomers.
Well, there's a bunch of people, like the New York Times is in shambles right now, trying to explain, after for years of them saying that the U.S. economy is fine, why we are looking to be heading into a recession. And if you want a clear understanding of why we're going into recession, it's because of all these fucking zoomers with their broccoli haircuts.
I mean, listen, nobody knows this more, or nobody knows this least, but is trying harder, is like the New York Times and that kid from the Florida shooting who's really skinny, David Hogg, who now leads, he's trying to recruit young broccoli haircutted zoomers to the Democratic Party. And it's just not working. Because right now, like NPR, the New York Times is still like, no. Can you imagine like a broccoli haircutted zoomer reading a New York headlines story, lecturing them? Can you imagine like how hard they would laugh at that? Like it doesn't affect them. And like having David Hogg on podcast tell broccoli haircutted zoomers why it's misogynist to, think chicks are hot. And to catcall them on fucking group chats. I mean, nobody's going to ever listen to you. You're just so out of touch. And nobody, but they don't listen to anybody. They don't even listen to, they wouldn't do meme coins. You try to orange pill your broccoli haircut, a zoomer sign, doesn't work. Nobody can get their attention.
Yeah, this is the problem with the Zoomers in general, is they don't have respect for credentials. And it's a problem. I can understand the lack of respect for authority, and I can sympathize it. I think all of us can when it comes to Bitcoin, but there still is a place for credentials in this world.
That's the, they don't respect the longest chain. They don't respect the importance of hard work.
Like these are the types of people that are talking about forking Maxi Madness, or people with broccoli haircuts.
Right. That's nobody's going to follow that, but you know, they're going to be an exceptionally annoying fucking troll, I think, to deal with.
Yeah. And the way you deal with them is just by dunking on them, just relentlessly. Yeah.
Don't be afraid to bitch slap a broccoli haircut and meme.
Well, one of the topics I think we want to talk about today is the tariff situation. So hardware wallets just got a lot more expensive. Is that going to be a problem for people self-custodying their funds?
Yeah, or is depends. This
going to be something that's a transitory issue? We're using Bitcoin as a unit of account, as a store of value. Are the tariffs going to impact hardware wallet purchasers? Are they going to start turning to Office Depot paper as an alternative? What do you think?
Some people, they have listened to 40 hours per week, and for whatever reason, maybe just the algorithm that they like, they only think that you can cold storage Bitcoin with a Blockstream Jade or a cold card. They don't think that they heard that everything else is, you know, a scam. But that's going to be 25% more expensive. They don't understand that you can make your own seed signer. You could buy a BitKey. You could use a paper wallet. You could generate your own entropy, create your own signing device. They just don't know the alternatives. So a lot of people are going to have to watch a lot more tutorials. I think BTC Sessions is going to need to put a lot more tutorials out there that are not cold card.
Are there going to be tariffs on his tutorials?
Depends. I saw Zeus. The non-custodial Bitcoin Lightning wallet, they posted there's no tariffs on Lightning channels, which is good news. But I did, you know, I couldn't help but comment and quote tweet that if the Lightning network really worked, do you think we'd be so lucky? If the Lightning network actually worked, do you think we would have avoided tariffs like this? So sometimes it's good to appreciate the bad user experience, because bad user experience helps you avoid tariffs.
That reminded me, speaking of bad user experience, you've never used Monero, have you?
I've received it, but I've never spent it. Never mind it. I guess I'm a Monero hodler, which is the worst kind of Monero person to be.
True. One of the key things that I've seen about Monero, which I kind of like from a bad user experience standpoint, at least the only wallet I've ever used for Monero is Cake Wallet. But every time you log in to check your balance, it has to sync for a few minutes, unlike a Bitcoin wallet. And I don't know, I'm not running my own Monero node, so I'm not sure about the mechanics there. Maybe it's different if you're running your own node, but I thought that was pretty interesting. Like, okay, you know, I open my wallet, I have to wait like 5 minutes to see my balance, and then it takes a while. So, you know, like if you're going, like one of the challenges, like when you're going to these non-KYC peer-to-peer exchanges, you're talking to your local cigarette dealer. A lot of times they just want the transaction to go fast. You know what I mean? You go in there with Bitcoin, you do a Lightning transaction, right, Settles immediately, they get out of there. You do a Bitcoin transaction, they see a broadcast to the blockchain. They don't wait for three confirmations or whatever. They just book it. They're like, okay, that's good enough. I trust it's going to get through. You go in with your Monero wallet. You have to wait like up to potentially 5 minutes, depending on how recently you've checked your balance. Maybe it's been a week or two, and that forces them to sit there and wait for you to be able to send the transaction so you can actually have a conversation with them, which is kind of a nice thing to do.
Yeah. And it's almost like the perfect amount of time. It's enough time to smoke a cigarette with them before you do a transaction with a merchant, grocer, a mechanic, a vendor, a consultant. should you at least spend enough time getting to know them that you can smoke a cigarette with them? I don't know. I think that's like maybe built into the this is built into it somehow.
Yeah, I mean, this is how our society used to be. People used to congregate outside the bars, smoke cigarettes together, talk to each other.
Wait for their balance to be settled, you know, show up on their wallets.
Yeah, I'm trying to sync my Monero wallet.
Get it. So, it's another feature that I think maybe goes unappreciated is sometimes you pull out your Lightning wallet to make a payment or your Monero wallet, whatever, and you haven't had time to look at the price, and maybe you don't know that the price dropped 6% that day. Maybe you turned off push notifications from River because you're just like, I'm just not going to check price. And then you open your wallet and you see, oh shit, I thought I had $100 worth of Bitcoin, but I only have 88. I can't buy, this PodConf t-shirt that I wanted. That's $100. Who would just spend that much anyway? But it gives you time when the Monero's loading so you check the price so you don't get shocked or surprised and commit to buying something before you even know if you'll have enough USDT.
Totally. So I've noticed with a bunch of people tweeting about the price this week, I do not know why people have not started pricing in USDT yet. What do you think the holdup is on that?
It's hard to say. I mean, you got Paulo tweeting from Wall Street, kind of almost like the conquering fucking hero, as all the Wall Street bankers were threatening to jump out of their buildings because the dollar is getting so strong. Therefore, Tether is getting so strong. And, it's coming to Lightning Network. It's everywhere. I guess people are just... they're scared to change.
It sounds like they're gonna have to change here pretty soon, because like you said, Tether's coming to Lightning. It sounds like it's gonna come pretty fast. I don't think a lot of people are really expecting the speed of this transition. I think the Tron blockchain is gonna be absolutely devastated. I think Justin Sun is just gonna be really really, really sad when people stop using Tron to use Tether.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a broader narrative here. It's like American dominance as a result of these tariffs is going to come at the expense of China. It's going to come at the expense of Chinese blockchains like Tron. It's going to come at the expense of Russian blockchains like Ethereum. It's not good for any of them. Maybe the CIA's blockchain, Solana, will be okay, but that's... and Monero, but that's it.
Who's Mossad's blockchain? I think that was Zcash, right?
Like that's what people speculated. People were saying that it was Zcash, but I think there's no consensus, but there's a few others that they speculate on.
It seems like every intelligence agency has their own blockchain, or at least a few.
Yeah, it's crazy. The United States was able to 51% and take over Chinese intelligence blockchain BNB, but the United States now controls it, and you can only buy stuff in USDC now that they're so cucked.
I didn't even know that. That's crazy. Well, I hope everybody got a better understanding of what's going on. I think you did. This is why you come to the show. You listen to 40 Hours of Bitcoin Podcast just as a week, as a primer for this show. This is the podcast for the 40 hour per week listener. But yeah, it's probably a good time you got any more thoughts before we start to transition into the Fountain Boost, Rod?
No, I think right now is the time to zoom out, lower your time preference, and either start listening to a Bitcoin podcast or start listening to 40 hours per week, because that's where the signal's going to be. And right now the decoupling meme and all these other memes are just not bullish enough.
Totally. Well, there's a handful of things I want to talk about before we get into the Fountain Boost. So right now you and I are 1 and 2 on Wave Lake, which is pretty cool. My song, my song Ungovernable Misfit is at number 1 currently. I'm pretty proud of that song. I should have it on Spotify and Apple Music and all the other gay music apps here pretty soon for you guys. Also working with some people to try and get this song. But yeah, I mean, the song was inspired by our good friends at Ungovernable Misfits, who are really walking the walk and being serious disruptors and are very anti-PodConf, proud members of the Intellectual Silk Road. So it was definitely, I would dedicate that song to them. But if you could go over to Wavelake and boost it, that would make me feel pretty good. One thing I did want to announce too, but before I ask you about your song, talk about it a little bit. I created an Instagram account last week. So go over to Instagram, look for Richard Greaser. I've got like 3 followers. I do have one of the hot Bitcoin women following me out of the 3 to 5 followers that I have. I'm pretty sure the other 2 are bots, but, Kit Sats is following me. That's a pretty, pretty good ego boost.
Hell yeah. She's hot.
Definitely hot. But yeah, let's hear about your song. What do you got going on with this song?
Well, the one that's on Wavelake is actually, it's not the really the one that's kind of the base hit right now. So, but it's still on Wavelake. If you look up Rod Palmer's podcast, Listening with apostrophe after the N instead of the G, that's the big hit right now. I think if you listen to that one, Ungovernable Misfits song, they're both pretty like outlaw country inspired. I think the Bitcoin podcast Gavel of the World Nashville it's having a cultural impact on Bitcoin music.
It's looking like your song's titled on Wavelake, Precious Time.
Yeah, that's a different song. It's not as good. It's kind of like the beta version, and the podcast Listen is like the prototype.
Okay. Well, I guess I haven't heard podcast Listening yet. I'll have to take a listen.
You know, that one's that one's shared on a video on the Google. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I have heard that one. Then that is the one I would listen to. I've just been confused because they're publishing different ones. All right. Well, one of the things I've been has been interesting here recently is it seems like our clothing's taking off right now. One of the things that's also happening, kind of unfortunately coinciding with our clothing taking off, is PodConf's clothing is taking off as well. I would encourage everybody listening to this show to go over to orangelabel.co and consider purchasing something from our clothing line. So my clothing line's the Comply line. I'm working on another one. Rod's clothing line is the 40 HPW clothing line. My favorite shirt on that is the Intellectual Silk Road 40 hours per Bitcoin or of Bitcoin podcast per week shirt. I think it's really got a nice aesthetic to it. My favorite shirt that I own currently. I would encourage people to go over and check that out. Don't let PodConf sell more shirts than us. They've got the influencers on their side. They got Rob Hamilton repping his shirt. I heard
Shinobi.
I heard Becca. Opti. Fucking Opti. He doesn't like Linkin Park and wears PodConf gear. What a loser.
Freaking PoE Lane's Ben Justman.
Wait, PodConf got him too? I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, yeah. Ben Justman's sporting the PodConf gear now.
Oh, no. Guys, we cannot let them sell more shirts than us. We
can't let Creed wear PodConf. We can't let PodConf have Creed.
This is rough. Buy the 40 HPW line, buy the Comply line, rep it, post it on Noster, post it on Twitter, do a big middle finger to PodConf, tell them that you're rejecting them. We need to correct course right now. PodConf has been selling a lot of clothing, so we got to get back on track. PodConf's trying to co-opt your 40 HPW line. I don't know if you saw that, but they're using your logo on some shit. PodConf also has this really cool suit coiners line.
The suit coiners is cool, but it's kind of fucked up that they stole my 40 hours per week. But in hell he is, bot cop, so he probably told him to do it.
I need to hurry up and release this this revolution won't have good UX line probably here pretty quick, because PodConf has some pretty good merch on their website. It's kind of problematic.
Yeah.
Timmy Tether here. Are you ready to unleash your thermodynamically sound style? Then check out the Bugle's 40 Hours Per Week collection, available exclusively at Orange Label. By wearing 40 Hours Per Week tees, you're making a statement. You're letting people know that you don't have time to waste. Made from premium cotton that feels as good as withdrawing your Bitcoin from exchanges directly into cold storage, these shirts come in various styles for both Bitcoin podcasters and Bitcoin podcast listeners. Whether you're listening to your favorite Bitcoin podcast at the gym meetup or just want to start conversations about the future of money, these shirts speak your language. Available in sizes extra small to 2XL and priced at just 0.00012 Bitcoin. Or if you prefer fiat, we accept that too. Head on over to orangelabel.co and look for the 40HPW tag for the latest threads from the Bugle.
All right, with that, let's get into the fountain boost.
The first boost, and this is on the episode of apologizing to absolutely nobody. So we're recapping Maxi Madness, obviously. And we'll not go, really need to beat a dead horse. We know how that, but fundamentals, honestly, go and listen to his podcast episode, latest one, Back on Chain. They break down Maxi Madness, the origin of the Bugle, how Rod Hamilton told them about that we have the best Bitcoin podcast in the space, and how they agree. And they just explain Maxi Madness and the absurdity of it so well. So if you care, if you still want to hear about Maxi Madness, that's the only place where you're going to get some signal is Back on Chain. But fundamentals boosts this 21,000 sats. They said, love the glorious return of the best theme song in the business. I'm actually blanking on what he's talking about.
I believe he's talking, I used Under the Chemtrails Skies.
Oh, in the okay. Intro. That's right. That's right. Hell yeah. That is a classic.
That is Fundamental's favorite song. Yeah, I really enjoyed the latest episode of the Fish podcast. I was listening to, I mean, it inspired me to listen to a bunch of Fish last week. And I'm not typically into jam rock, but, you know, sometimes somebody's enthusiasm on a topic is so contagious that it makes you just enjoy it a little bit more. And so listening to their podcast really kind of opened up my eyes up to enjoying the music a bit. I was enjoying listening to Fish. I can't say, really say I like the Grateful Dead very much, but I did appreciate Fish. Maybe I'd be open to it if they did a Grateful Dead podcast. But yeah, they did a pretty good recap of Maxi Madness towards the end of the episode. The rest of the episode was about Fish, and I did enjoy it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that this goes with Bitcoin as well. Fish and Bitcoin are ubiquitous now throughout the culture, if you know where to look. But the only way either Bitcoin or Fish are going to pick up new fans at this point is if somebody finds a good podcast. So if you have a good Fish podcast, a good Bitcoin podcast, or a good Fish and Bitcoin podcast, that's probably going to be the best way to reach new cypherpunks is through the two podcasts.
And that's a really good tactic. If you're the type of person that feels a little bit insecure about starting another Bitcoin podcast and you want to differentiate yourself from everybody else in some way, instead of just being like everybody else and repeating what Michael Saylor and Lynn Alden said, you could start a podcast on a different subtopic. Like you could do a Bitcoin and Fish podcast. I wouldn't say do that because Fundamentals is already doing that, but you could do a Bitcoin and Grateful Dead podcast.
Bitcoin and Creed, Bitcoin and Bob Dylan, Bitcoin and Widespread Panic, Bitcoin and the Spice Girls, anything. There's you get all of the top A-list bands if you start a podcast about them with Bitcoin now.
Yeah, we could hear a Bitcoin and Taylor Swift podcast. I've been trying to talk Grant Cardone into starting a Bitcoin and Scientology podcast. I think that would be pretty interesting. We could see a Bitcoin and Mormon podcast. There's so many different topics that you can relate to Bitcoin in one way or another. And, you know, this is the great thing. Like, Bitcoin podcasts are for everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There, exactly. Bitcoin podcast and, you know, goth music, Bitcoin podcast and jazz, Bitcoin podcast and The Cosby Show, Bitcoin podcast and Disney. You just have to be a little bit creative.
I would like to hear a Bitcoin podcast for emos.
Yeah, Bitcoin is for emos. That Opti was talking shit about Linkin Park and Linkin Park Rules, the guy that he's over at Ungovernable. He's talking shit about Linkin Park, the band, and that obviously we like Linkin Park at the Bugle. And he said it was for emo girls. Well, Bitcoin is for emo girls. And it sucks that I have to remind Opti of that.
Well, you know, people like Opti, they like to gatekeep. That's just it at the end of the day. Opti's trying to gatekeep and keep the emo girls out of Bitcoin. Bitcoin's for everybody, Optimus, even the emo girls. So get over it. But yeah, anyways, thank you for the boost, Fundamentals. Our next boost is from our good friend, Late Stage Hoddle, one of the most consistent boosters of the show. The Boogie Woogie Bugle Boys of Company B. What does that mean? You got any takes on that? Is there some cryptic language happening in this boost, Rod?
No, I don't know. It's, I mean, Company B, that's obviously a CIA reference, and it's also in the style of like the strategy B, so MicroStrategy. The Boogie Woogie, I think that might have something to do with CIA. So I think he's calling us in a joking manner. I think he's teasing us, calling us feds.
Interesting.
We'll have Late Stage Hoddle elaborate on that. But I think that if nobody thinks you're a fed, I think that that's probably not good for you. I think it's, you want to keep people guessing, because people, you know, if they think you're a fed, maybe that might make a lot of people respect you more. Maybe not in a good way, but in a way that they are going to be less likely to try to steal your Bitcoin or dunk on you in memes.
If they don't think you're a fed, you're not trying hard enough. That's what I've learned.
Right. There you go. Exactly. So that's interesting. The next one. So thank you, Late Stage Hoddle. One of our, maybe he likes feds because he boosts us a lot. Maybe that doesn't count as paying your taxes. Just so you know, you can't write that off on your tax return next week. But, thank you for the boost. The next one's from Sean, and he boosted us 5,000 sats. And Sean said, the ICE raid news isn't surprising given the Bugle's coverage of Solana on-chain assassin markets last year. Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I appreciate when a listener comes on and points to timestamps, essentially, so we can dunk on our critics. So thank you for bringing up that opportunity, Sean. We predicted that that ICE and immigration was going to have to get more aggressive on these Solana assassination meme coin, on these assassination markets, and they're cracking down on Solana, no less. So another big prediction, correct. So thanks for the alley-oop, Sean. What news dunk that one?
Yeah, this phenomenon of tokenizing snitching is very interesting. It seems like Laura Loomer. I have trouble complimenting people that aren't Bitcoin podcasters. Like, Laura Loomer was a person that I complimented. I said she was one of the good Jews. And then all of a sudden she starts promoting snitching on the blockchain. And
Sad to see now she's in the same lane as Pledger.
Well, I think Pledger would be... Pledger believes in snitching just for the sake of snitching, right?
He's a purist. Mm-hmm.
He's not in the tokenomics.
Right, he's a transparent snitch. Like we said, you don't need a token to be a tattletale. And it's sad to see Laura Loman promoting a tattletale token.
Just the absolute worst. It's just... I mean, I'm a shitcoiner, but I shitcoin using Monero. You know what I mean? To buy cigarettes. Like, that's a legitimate reason to shitcoin. But snitching on the blockchain, I would argue, is an illegitimate reason to shitcoin. Like, grow up. Snitches get stitches.
100%.
Yeah. What should we do? Should we go beat these people up? Beat up the shitcoiners?
Yeah, what do we want to do at this point? It's like, if you shitcoin on my property, you're going to get a shotgun to your ass. Up your ass. A boot up your ass, at least. But, you know, I don't have the time or the time preference to chase you around, you know, in public, tattletaling on you for shitcoining, promoting unregistered securities. At this point, you get what you get. And if somebody decides to kick your ass because you scammed them, well, you deserve it.
Totally. Well, thank you for the boost, Sean. Is this Blizza again? It says anonymous on my computer.
Yeah, yeah. That is Blizza.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with my typewriter. It doesn't always get the... oh, wow. Next boost was from Lahav. Blizza says, this is for a KYC free Marlboro Red for Timmy Tether. Can't wait for his upcoming daily or weekly show. Oh, boy.
Hell yeah. Stay tuned for that. Timmy Tether is, if you listen to the commercial, he's doing ads for us for our t-shirts. He's becoming a bigger part of this production. You want to get the next one there? Seems like you noticed that one.
Oh, I noticed it. I noticed it real good. Next boost, 500 sats from Lahav Cliff Shark, the guy that does the music videos for the incredible band Stardust.
Well, nice.
VVV. So V is something in, I don't know why, but the Israelis say it. I think it means it good or something like that, or cool.
It's like value for value.
Well, appreciate the boost, Lahav.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Next one is from Pink Monkey. Pink Monkey just boosted us 500 sats. No base message. So thank you, Pink Monkey. Also, frequent value for value participant.
Got another one from Anonymous. Is this Blizza again?
No, this is just user 401-13771. So this is somebody who, they wanted to boost us, but the user experience wasn't good enough for them to fill out their profile, apparently.
I wonder, do you think the issue here where we're getting anonymous on this page...
Maybe it's a double boost.
I think it's probably because they don't have their profile integrated with Noster. I think that's the issue.
I think Pink Monkey... No, I don't know. You're right. You're right. I don't know. I don't want to speculate.
Next boost from Pies, 420 sats, V for V, hashtag 40 HPW. The guys at PlebChain did a roast of Pies.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I saw Pies' reaction on Nostri. He really appreciated it. It was a thoughtful, very thoughtful roast. It was barely a roast, to be honest with you. But it's hard to roast somebody like Pies. No, so whenever somebody has it integrated with Noster, when you're on the app, you can like or boost or zap, excuse me, or retweet. But if they don't have it integrated with Noster, like user 40113, blah, 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 and as well as Blizza, they are found app only, no Noster integration. This last one, the novice one, they don't even have a username.
Interesting. Last boost. From BTC on board, 300 sats, lightning, 40 HPW.
Well, 40 HPW indeed. Well, yeah, I mean, like I think that's the first non-emoji message. BTC on board has boosted us. So maybe he doesn't know English, and now he learned 40 HPW. So he's on his way to learning English because of 40 hours per week.
You know, there's going to be all these bragging rights throughout Bitcoin history that you can reference. So you can say things like, you were on Bitcoin Talk in like 2014. You know what I mean?
You're on something that Pete Rizzo is going to tweet about 5 years from now, 10 years from now.
Yeah. You can say that you bought Bitcoin in 2011 to use the Silk Road. You could say that you're in Bitcoin talk in like 2014. You could say that you were at the conference that Trump spoke at. But I think the big one to be referencing is that you were a 40-hour per week podcast listener in 2025. Like, that's going to be one of the big bragging rights that I would put
there
on the list.
Then if you were a 40 hours per week person in 2024, that's going to be like buying Bitcoin before, like, there was an exchange with a dollar price. It'd be like farting buying pizza with, like, Laszlo did.
Definitely. Well, you got any closing thoughts before we wrap up this episode?
You can't tariff my node. I have a feeling Pledger's going to be reporting people who are doing illegal transactions without including tariffs, but that's going to be solved. Jesse over at Amboss, they're going to make it so that you can pay tariffs on your Lightning channel when you're using Tether to transact over Lightning. So you don't have to worry about any of these regulatory clarity issues any longer.
Very exciting. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning into this episode of the Beagle Weekly, and we will catch you next week.
Later.
Used to spend my nights in watching Netflix. Trailer Park Boys was my favorite show. Fixed my incentives, now I can't afford taxes. 40 hours per week, oh, how I've grown. Listening to Citadel Dispatch or my fave rabbit hole recap. You give me some what Bitcoin did, I'll listen to that signal, it's my thinking cap. I've looked for macro in all the same places, found the Fiat podcast analysis so dry. But when I found Lynn Alden, I didn't waste it, 'cause there's nothing like her post to get me high. Listening to Citadel Dispatch or my fave rabbit hole recap. You give me some what Bitcoin did, I will listen to that, all that signal, that's a fact. Podcast listening.